It means that we believe that the man who wrote these things is able to do what he has said he will do. And we are seeing him demonstrate it next door. Now, I'm not talking about, did we go to God? Now, I'm using this one to explain a principle. Are you following my point? That we had an expectation based upon what we saw. Faith is the assurance of the expectation that a man has. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, listen to this. The expectation is built upon the evidence. Which one came first? The faith, the evidence, or the expectation? It was the evidence. I was sitting down eating in Bubbles when my phone rang and somebody told me. The evidence came first. Are you getting my point? Now, in my heart, I quickly considered whether this was true. And I believed it was true. So I had to take action. That is, I had an expectation that this building, because it says 6 p.m. And we have seen it done before. Not only next door, several places in town. This is just by the way to conclude that except God tells you otherwise, you have to believe it will happen. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, let me get that to what I'm saying. That is, what expectation you have for your life must be based upon the evidence of the word of God. That's what we are saying. It is not according to desire. It is according to discovery. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, if I was not praying for long life and prosperity, I was just reading my Bible one day, and then suddenly it dawns on me that the Bible says that God has said, with long life I will satisfy you. Are you getting my point? I have the responsibility to create an expectation. I don't create an expectation. That if I receive that word, instantly a new expectation is created in me. Do you understand my point? The story I want to tell you was one I read from Kenneth Hagin's book. He said one day he read some magazines, and they were telling him that with age, your memory begins to fail. You begin to forget things. And the explanation was that your brain begins to undergo some changes and all that. You know, plenty of medicine and science. And he believed the doctors knew what they were saying. As soon as he read it, he in his mind believed that as he grows older, he will begin to forget things. Then one day he was reading his Bible. And he got to a point in which Abraham was talking with the rich man at whose gate Lazarus laid. Remember that man? And he noticed that Abraham said, "Son, remember." Now the guy was dead. And Abraham said, "Son, remember that when you were on the earth, you had the good things of life." And this man, he suddenly dawned on him and said, "What? Oh, so you don't really remember with your physical brain. So just say, I'll forget it. I'm never going to begin to lose my memory." Until the man died, his memory was as sharp as could be. Are you getting my point? Now, you know, because I was taught on God's word I've been learning it for a long time. I have never been able to agree with anybody that my brain will begin to shrink. Do you get my point? It doesn't ever cross my mind. I never. What I ever tell people is that I don't plan to retire. That I don't see why people retire. You know the interesting thing? In fact, that's another good explanation. Why don't you plan to retire? At the age of 65, I say 65. 65-year-old men are supposed to be agile. I mean, Alan Greenspan of Federal Reserve, their own equivalent of our CBN. How old is that man? He's 80-something. If you can dictate, that is, if God gives you a word that tomorrow, this is what Alan Greenspan will say. Do you know you can be a millionaire overnight? That is, if you know that Alan Greenspan will go tomorrow and drop interest rate by 0.25%, and you find out today, that by the end of maybe by Monday, that is the announcement. There are investments you will make rapidly, which will end in 3 days. I will make you a millionaire. The man is 80 something. Now that's even a natural play. Then I read my Bible one day, and it said that Mark the righteous man. He said he will be that in old age he will be full of sap. That's what my Bible says. That he will be fruitful in old age. I said, look at what the Bible is saying. Government cannot decree against God. It is not possible. That was the day I decided that you will never hear that I retired. It will never happen. No, get me. It is not like I want to work till I drop. No, I have found out that it is not possible for me to retire. And then I began to notice around. My favorite example in that area was Pa Odutola. Odutola is one great industrialist in Nigeria. On his 91st or 92nd birthday, there about 90 something, I'm sure. The man, after, when the reporter was congratulating him, oh, Papa, you don't try, God. So what, anything for next year? He said, yes. They plan to invest in this area. The man was plotting strategies for investment for the next year. I said, this man is 90 something. And I will now retire at 65. God forbid bad thing. Was it a desire? No. It was a discovery. I just read the Bible and found out that this is the way it is. Listen, bird flu. See, that's the one that Europe is angry, is afraid of right now. Do you know it doesn't frighten me? It is not because I feel like bird flu is not a problem. Listen, the Bible said, 1,000 may fall by your side and 10,000 at your right hand. None shall come near thee. Only with your eyes will you behold the reward of the wicked. No, get my point. Bird flew or bird did not fly. You understand my point? Either bird flew or bird landed. It's not on my issues. Are you getting me? I told you that once. They told me that meningitis is killing people. It's killing people. Everybody run for vaccine. I said, nothing wrong with vaccination, nothing. But I felt insulted by the rush. Now, I will rush to go and take meningitis vaccine. Rush. He said, why? Because I heard meningitis is coming. I said, I won't take. They said, why? I said, meningitis should go and take Banky vaccine. When he hears I'm coming, he should be the one running. Insult. What if he catches you? It won't catch me. Don't worry. No, believe me, it will not. Though the body be dead because of sin, yet the spirit will give it life because of righteousness. It is not a desire, it's a discovery. We did a seminar like that I think about 2 years ago. It's not a desire, it's what? A discovery. I told you once I went to a bookshop, that the story I've told you again and again, and I saw a book, Childless but Not Less. It's a go. What rubbish do you want to tell me? Want to feel you want to feel my life? I said, no, I have read in the Bible. It said, children are the heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is a reward. He said, blessed is everyone that has a quiver full of them. He said, my wife will be a fruitful vine in my house. My children will be around my table. Is that not what he said? It's a discovery. I have told you this love for 2 children, I have refused to imbibe it. Not because, look, if I one day, when my 2 kids finished with us in the house, I looked at my wife. I said, the Lord said, many children is good. Amen. That's all I can say. I said, with what these 2 fellows have done, that I still desire more is of the Spirit of God. He still said, blessed is the man that has a quiver full of them. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. I don't care what stories anybody wants to tell me. I told one of my friends once, I said, yes, when you are young and full of energy, you may be saying all this rubbish. Then one day, you'll be 70 years old. Then we'll see whether 2 children or 15. Let's see this one that is better at that age. No, I have refused to imbibe all those things. Earlier I showed you that scripture that I quoted some time ago. That this is the way life is. Once God speaks, be careful that you don't speak against it. God calls it a ganging up. You know, no, it's there. Open it. Let me read it for your reading pleasure, for your viewing pleasure. How did they say it on TV? Or for your listening pleasure. Numbers chapter 14, verse 35. You know, after they came back from the promised land, is it I, the Lord? No, of course, they did all the thing that happened. 10 spies said yes and said no. Joshua and Caleb said yes, and the whole of Israel followed the 10 spies. And when God was pronouncing judgment, he said, I, the Lord, have spoken, verse 35. Surely this I will do to all this evil congregation who are gathered together against me. You've not seen it before. There is a gang up. What did they say? We are not able to enter. God said, you can do it. He said, no, we can't. Joshua and Caleb said, you can. They said, no, we can't. God said, it's a gang up. Have you seen it? Or is it only my Bible? It's there. Let me read the New Living Translation. That's more interesting. It said, I, the Lord, have spoken. I will do these things to every member of the community who has conspired against me. It's a conspiracy. You see what I'm saying? No, New Living Translation. It said, it is a conspiracy. Let me warn you. Anytime you speak against God, you are... Look, oh God, You know, when police want to increase the number of charges on you, whatever crime you have done, they add conspiracy to it. Conspiracy alone is a charge on its own. You stole a wristwatch, yes. Then your friend drove you away from where you stole it, yes. Then they now add conspiracy to steal because two of you were involved. Each person is being charged, though. They now add to it conspiracy. Can you see that? Believe me, it is a dangerous thing to conspire against the Lord. I'm sure you don't want to do that. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Oh, God, I have another one for you, NIV. NIV said, I will surely do these things to this wicked community which has banded together against me. That is, God sees this speaking against what he has said as a serious matter. All right. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. What am I saying? That God doesn't expect you to come with desires primarily. What he expects is that you discover what he has prepared your life to be ahead of time. Those days when we were in university, I like one thing, some foundations we had that time. Do you know? It may have been extremes, but I think it's good. There were extremes that time. People did all kinds of things. But at least they taught us that certain things were not palatable to Christianity. We are afraid to tell people we're sick. You know, night has become okay. He said, waiting, he said, do you know that I have been sick for 1 week? And you know, we are very comfortable with it now. Very good. He said, what do you think? He said, what did you take? I took Panadol. Did it work? No. What did you do? I now went to Camo Queen. After Camo Queen called, no, I decided to treat for typhoid fever. You know, this is when I'm engaging in those discussions. I can't remember when we're on campus. When you are dying like this, you say, why the problem? You say, well, it's drugs, I'm healed. You will not. I'm telling you. No, really. It was good. It was good. And I think Christians have to. No, there were extremes. But at least we're reaching out for the power that works towards those that believe. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And look, oh my goodness, say those things worked. There's something I used to say. That people say, these Christians, they're like, I said more people die annually from the mistakes of doctors than die from walking by faith. Listen, I am a pathologist by training. First 6 months when you train in Luz, all you do every day, all you do are autopsies. I have seen women that doctors cut off the head of the baby and left the rest inside and did not say. Ah, look at you. It was a macerated fetus trying to deliver, whether it's a doctor or a quack, I don't know. But the head of the baby came off and all they did was to refer. When the woman got to UNT, to Luth, because there was no proper history, the doctor made a diagnosis, retained second twin. Think it was a twin pregnancy. At autopsy, we removed the headless baby. We realized it was a macerated fetus. Listen, walking by faith is safer. What didn't we say? Yet people commit their faith to doctors. And if you say you are trusting God, they say you are an extremist. Go and see nonsense that happens every day in the clinics. You can't tell the public. If you do, they will never go to hospital again. Doctors remove testes of men claiming they have prostate cancer who don't have every day. All these quacks that call themselves doctors in town. I mean, they are real doctors, but they don't keep in touch with the things happening. You see the rubbish practices they practice. Yet, if you go to them and commit your life to them, they say you are being wise. Try and trust God. Men will look down on you. Believe me, it is actually safer to be an idiot in faith than to be wise before men. How can you trust men? Men the more than you trust God. The only problem I have with Christians is that they follow denomination. In our church, we don't take medicine. That is the problem. Not to take medicine is not a sin. It's a good thing. The problem I have is, you know, you see people, they have no faith. But the general overseer said medicine is bad. And listen to me, medicine is good. There's nothing wrong with it. But better than all of them are men that are well all the time. Ken Hagin will tell you stories. Since he was 17 and he was raised from the deathbed till he died, He was virtually never sick. That's a testimony. And they taught us on those things. By his stripes, I am healed. By his stripes, I am healed. We're taught to wake up in the morning, whether you are sick or not, confessing, by his stripes, I am healed. Listen, let's build expectations on God's word. He said, your body is no longer subject to sickness. Believe it, and you will see the result. No, you know, certain things have become, look, John G. Lake will tell you that it is wrong for you to utter, and I believe it very strongly, that you know at this time of the season, kata is very plenty, so I get one too. It is ungodly. Listen, we grow in faith every day, but let it be seen that every day we are growing. Not that we settle down in corruption. Are you getting what I'm going to say? Every time trouble comes to town, it gets to your house just like it gets to the unbeliever's house. I was talking to one of my friends, that's one of the pastors in our church a few days ago. He said you get to his house, he made up his mind that God, you protect this door or let the thieves come in. No security on the door. At night, just turns the key and goes to sleep. That the day robbers began to raid in the street, he said, God, what do I do? He went to the door, opened the door, and went to sit down. He said, God, if you can't protect me, let them catch me. That he turned the key, opened it, and went and crossed his leg on the dining table, brought out the Bible, and began to read. He said, I'm waiting for them. Is it foolishness? Rubbish. Men who have garrisoned their house like the fortress of Judah. Thieves have walked in with them like this. Those days when I didn't have a car, I used to tell my mother something. Because, you know, I've always been an odd fellow. Even my parents, my father wouldn't talk. My mother thought this guy was odd. You understand what I'm saying? That is true. People are walking up and they're running up and they're trying to gather money to buy a car. Say, I don't have money. So, I don't have money. Have you ever, like they say in Yoruba, I don't know who speaks Yoruba here, that is, you can't get to a shop and prostrate and beg enough till they give you a bicycle. So I told them, I don't have money. There is nothing. I remember once I went for a meeting. It was Winner's Chapel in Lagos. I went for what they call a breakthrough seminar. I went with one sister. When we're leaving, he said, hey, Pastor Banky, why don't you have a car? In my mind, why are you asking me, why don't I have a car? You're asking a fine young man like me, why don't I have a car? You need inspiration and the Holy Ghost by dreams and revelation to tell you that it is money. I mean, what else do you need? Oh, you need God to specially speak to you that this guy doesn't have a car because he cannot afford it. I just asked simply. I had one bishop with a poor book in my hand that day. I opened it to one page that I read. I said, Bishop said, if God cannot give it to me, I don't want it. I close the book. Let him that have understanding hear what the Spirit is saying to the judges. No, really. I didn't bother myself. I graduated in 1991. First time I drove a car that was called my own was in the year 2000, January 31st. It was a gift from my father-in-law. He just looked at these people, said, these children, they will just suffer for nothing. That will not concern me. Oh, thank God for my wife. I told her clearly beforehand. You see, as I did so, I can't afford a car. There's nothing, look, no shame in it. I can't afford it. I'm not going to steal. I promise you by God, I wouldn't steal. You understand my point? Couldn't afford one. So then I said to my mother, the same thing. She could just look like, hi, this is my crazy boy. I said, however, I said, when God gives me one, if I live in the center of the road and not lock the door, there's no thief that will carry it. As if to prove it, the first night that car I was telling you about arrived, I forgot to lock the doors and packed it inside loot there in Lagos where the thieves are the king. You understand what I want? No, listen. It is safer to trust God. Look, if with all the calamities of stories, the stories of calamities that people have to tell you, that this man trusted God, he died. This man didn't want to listen to me. Tell him to come and see me, whoever's telling some rubbish stories, and I will take him through a list of those who trusted their doctors and died faster than they would have died otherwise. There was one story one of my profs told us in university. A young man came for hernia surgery. You know hernia? Hernia is done around here. They mistakenly wheeled him to the theater where they were doing chest surgery. Can you see the distance? This was in London. Don't think it's Nigeria here. This was in the UK. In the zeal of the young residents, they had opened the chest, removed one rib because they were going to do remove a part of a man's lung for cancer of the lung. As soon as they opened the ribs and looked at the lungs, they knew something was wrong. This lung looks too well. At that point in time, the big boss, the main surgeon, walks in. You know, it happens like that. They come in last. You know, you have just finished scrubbing. So they say, "Oh, God, look." He said, the man took one glance at the lungs. He said, "Where's the x-ray?" The x-ray was on the screen. He turned, looked at the x-ray. You know, if you've been to theater, you will understand. You really don't see the patient. The anesthetist has covered him, you know. By the time he's walking in, he's just a matter of tags, tag and tag. He's not there to identify himself again. He said, the man just looked and said, "This is not this patient." He looked at the x-ray, looked at the lungs, it's not the patient. So they closed back the wound, woke the young man who came for hernia up to tell him sorry. You know the unfortunate part? He did not wake up to hear the sorry. He died. He was about 30. Listen, there are more fatalities from trusting doctors than there are from trusting God. I beg, let's go on. It is safer, believe me, to trust God than to trust doctors. I was talking with a friend once. They were just gisting. He said, the GO of Redeemed, that's Adeboye. His wife had the first four kids, I think, by CS. Then he got born again and learned the word of God. So he said the last one. No, and then she had the word doctors would call I've forgotten the word to use now. But the reason why they did the CS was permanent. Maybe she had a contracted pelvis, so they had to continue doing it. Now she has had four scars on her uterus. Even if it was not permanent, they wouldn't want to try that scar anymore. He said that he learned the word of God and said, it is not so with the Hebrew women. And everybody was afraid. And they were begging him, "Ogabeko, don't do it like this. This is not wisdom." He and his wife just looked like all of them had increased her head. We are trusting God. Anyway, let me cut the long story short. The woman delivered smoothly and effortlessly. And God stood by them. And she, of course, she's still there, alive and well. The children are growing. Then the person I was talking with said, anytime the GO tells that story, my skin cringes because I looked at her. I said, and you plan to have children? Listen to me. Be careful of testimonies so that you don't despise them. No, you have to be very careful. If you don't know what to say, say God is good. He can do anything. And keep quiet. What is your skin cringing for? Has he lied? What am I saying? God has a word over your life. Build an expectation over it. Use it to build, that is, let your expectation from life, for life, arise out of what God has said, not out of your desires. I heard a guy talk once, said, I don't want to live beyond 65. I said, what's your problem with the age of 65? He said, after that, you become sickly. I said, what, 65, sickly? I'm going to be 100 and be healthy. Moses was 120 years old. His eyes did not grow dim. Caleb was 80, and he said, I have checked my strength for the last 40 years. It has not changed. The Bible said concerning, who was it now? He said, as his days, so is his strength. That is, when the guy is 50, he's strong. When he's 70, he's stronger than he was when he was 50. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Listen, those are my testimonies. Those are the things I believe. Let my sons try me in arm wrestling when I'm a 60-year-old man. You know, I'm telling you. I say, "Can you sit down there? Let me show you that daddy has not aged. Sit down." I will give him. No, seriously. When Roger Miller was the oldest goalkeeper, player in World Cup, He was this, look, he was like, oh, until they kicked them out, he was the highest goal scorer. What are you saying? Listen, the Bible said that the righteous man will be old and full of vigor. That's my plan. I don't care whether every old man is frail. It's their personal problem. I diagnose their prostate cancer every day. It is their problem. As for me, I will not have prostate cancer. How do I know? With long life, will he satisfy me and show me, demonstrate to me his ability to save. Show him his salvation. I build my expectation upon what God has said. You know my favorite scripture. He said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. Listen, I'm not afraid of poverty. That's why I don't chase money. If anything, I will take a spiritual advert. Money here is where I live. God said all of you should flow. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? As for chasing after money, no. I chase after ministry. Are you getting my point? How can we influence people more? You know, this radio program we are doing, the thing has really, really excited my life. Every day I hear, almost every day, somebody will stop me and say, sir, you have been a blessing to my life. I went to the Cosmo FM. One of the managers there told me that there's one girl that lives behind his house. 8 o'clock every Monday, she takes the radio and enters the kitchen, waiting for 8:30. Waiting for the way of success. One guy saw me in church yesterday morning. He says, sir, I want to tell you, you have been such a blessing. My mother doesn't miss your program for anything. She can't wait for another Monday to come. I mean, I've heard testimonies. A man said, the week I was supposed to enter into 419, I heard your broadcast. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I got a letter from Kaduna last week. The guy said, from Otupo, I was listening to this program. Now, I wrote this letter because now I've gone to Kaduna where the broadcast doesn't get to anymore. Somebody wrote me and said, sir, thank you very much. Now I recognize the seasons of my life. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Money, you do your own work. You will find me. Let me be finding ministry. You understand my point? Life, look, there's division of what? Labor. My own labor is what I am doing. Money has its own labor to look for me. No, it's true. There's division of labor. I won't do the work of money for it. What am I saying? I build my expectation on what God has said. That even if I was not waiting for the day I see it, come on. I say, so that's one of my issues. Thank you very much. No, let me give you an example. I like to have a very quiet life. I am the type of person, I hated Lagos with a passion. You understand my point? I hated Lagos. When we first moved to Transekulu, I was staying very quiet. The only thing quieter than my area in Transekulu was a graveyard. You understand what I'm saying? Very, very quiet. How many of us got there? My wife disliked it. Me, I loved it. I said, this is a good life. When God has blessed a man, he gives this kind of quiet environment. For that reason, I didn't like the idea of people crowding my house. Do you know, as time was going, I was also observing that I'm going to be an influential man. I began to see from the scriptures that Solomon had to feed multitudes. Look at David. I began to look and say, God, you know, well, whichever way you do it, you have to make me love people. Now, what am I saying? It wasn't like if I desired to pull crowd. Are you getting my point? But I discovered that it was necessary. God said, don't worry, I know how to handle it. So he married for me a wife that liked noise. Are you getting what I'm saying? And liked crowd. My wife comes from a family that crowd is part of it. My father-in-law has 23 younger ones. And my mother-in-law is from a family of 40 children. She's used to it. My mother-in-law's name is Crowd Puller. That is her native name. So my wife is used to crowd. So when things are too quiet, it's like, Abe, remove the roof. Just make some noise. What am I saying? I began to build an expectation for my life. Even if I wanted a house with 4 bedrooms, 5 bedrooms and a study and this, it has ended. Now, any house God will give me permanently, that is the big, when I'm a middle-aged man, the house it will it has to have at least 15 to 20 rooms. Guest chalets all over the place. Because I'm a man of influence. Men of influence don't live in isolation. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So to have a house on acres of land, for me, it's not a matter of covetousness. It's a matter of necessity. You know, you heard me teaching the other day that in life, you have to make room for people. So I have begun to make room for people in my life already. Any house I rented, first I designated, apart from my own bedroom, there must be a guest room and a storage. Those are the things that come out first. I said, people will come to stay in this house. Men of God, look, when men of God will come to, if I invite them, you have to stay in my house. I won't let you stay in a hotel. Except you just insist. Do you know why? Let me just share that with you briefly. Anytime they go, they carry what Jesus calls peace. He said, when a man comes bearing good news, there is peace in his pocket. He said, when he gets there, he will say, peace be upon this home. I will tell all of them, once you come in, I just tell the driver, stop at the gate. Say, peace be upon this home. The man will say, hey. Because for being a messenger of the gospel, you have brought something tangible. You get my... If I have to design the room that five-star hotels will be competing, I will. Let men come and drop peace there. And whether they say it or not, once they come in, I have collected. When they are leaving, they are empty. They have to go back to God to collect extra peace. I see people be telling stories like, there's no space right now. You can't make room for people in your life. Men come bearing good news. All these hotels and hospitality industry has deprived people of blessing. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? The woman that Elisha gave a child to, was it not because Elisha was staying over in their house? This man told his story once. Wale, okay. He said, I went to preach somewhere, I think Kaduna or somewhere there. And then there was a family that the pastor of the church said they were going to eat in their house. They invited them to come and eat. He said, as the woman was serving, he sat at the dining table. So the woman of the house was serving and everything. So out of courtesy, how is work? How's everything? How are the kids? He said he noticed that she didn't see anything. So he thought she didn't hear. So he repeated, how are the kids? And the people there quickly checked him and remarked to her that she's been married many years but had no offspring. So the man said, no problem. Called her. He said, 9 months, you'll have one. 9 months exactly, she had one. I'm a man of God. I have come to preach. You have fed me. I can't leave you childless. It's not possible. Are you getting my point? I mean, therefore, I have enlarged my coast. Look, there are days God will tell me, because of that man that slept here last time, I'm giving you $50 million. Why? Because that is the value of the peace he dropped in your house. People who have wisdom will compete with you to have them. You know, that's the thing about life. Said to whom? To he that has plenty. Even more will be given to him. Because as I get more, I build bigger houses. Look, we have spent some time. I said I wouldn't speak for long, but I have already. It would be good for us to close. Let me just summarize in one word. Your expectation of life must be actively built. That is, you keep making discoveries, and that begins to create for you an expectation. Don't let the things of the world create expectations for you. Be careful that you are not engaged in the conspiracy against God. Do you understand that? Let us pray.